Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. New measles cases in the U.S. continue to make headlines, the latest involving an outbreak linked to a Las Vegas casino just this weekend. Parents who decide to delay or forgo the MMR, or measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, are being blamed for the spread of the disease. In an article for Slate, Ruth Graham goes one step further, saying it's not parents who are to blame. It's moms. Ruth Graham is a New Hampshire-based freelance journalist and a regular contributor to Slate. And Ruth, great to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
So it's a pretty hot topic, and you're pretty much poking the bear here by blaming mothers. How are people reacting?
It is. Well, it's definitely an uncomfortable question. It's uncomfortable for me, particularly as a woman. And I would say, you know, there's been a positive, you know, I've definitely had positive reactions. The negative reactions have been, well, it's rude, it's uncomfortable, it's blaming moms for something that is maybe a more complicated issue. But no one's really said that it's not their fault or that they're not the ones driving these decisions. So I don't know. I think I might be onto something.
Well, and you do back it up with some research, plenty of it, that found that women do indeed make the vast majority of healthcare decisions for their families. But what do studies show about where they're getting their information to inform these decisions?
Well, that's the interesting thing. So it's pretty obvious, I think, and it is backed up by research that moms make the overwhelming majority of decisions about healthcare. But the more interesting research to me is that they're getting their information more from anecdotal information from the web. So there was a study last year that said women are 30% likelier to rely on sort of anecdotal Googling. And then a study from 2011, which is even more directly applicable to this issue, which is that for vaccine information specifically, women are likelier than men to trust magazine stories, to trust television, to trust stories from their friends. And really most shocking to me, they're more likely to place trust in celebrities, which, you know, when I hear that, I immediately think of Jenny McCarthy.
Right.
And get a little depressed.
Celebrity voices in this debate.
Exactly.
So faith in anecdotal evidence when it comes to not vaccinating, why do you think the pendulum does not swing the other way? In other words, why not trust anecdotal information that says vaccination is good?
Well, that's the disturbing thing, because obviously there's much more of that anecdotal evidence out there in the world. And when researchers have tried to shift their tactics and present more of this anecdotal information, this is research in its early stages, but there isn't evidence so far that that really works. And it's disturbing. But that research is sort of in its infancy. So we'll see.
Ruth, is this a bigger issue? I mean, a fundamental distrust of science, or maybe the way it's presented, or finding the right mouthpiece?
I think that's a big part of it. And there is this whole historical element here where women's stories about their own health, their claims about their own symptoms have been discounted by a lot of the mainstream medical establishment for, you know, decades, probably, you know, going back much farther than that. So if you think about women with chronic fatigue syndrome, with mental illnesses, and there's a variety of ways in which women's stories about their own health have not been taken seriously by the medical establishment. I think that's a big part of this. Even with autism specifically, which obviously looms very large over the vaccine debate, researchers spent decades focusing on this idea of refrigerator mothers, which are insufficiently loving mothers, causing autism. That's now been totally discredited. But if you think about that kind of lurking in the back of this conversation, you can understand why some of these mothers specifically might be a little wary of just trusting this information that's coming down from on high from their doctors.
So plenty of reasons to disbelieve doctors or,
absolutely,
let's say, the medical establishment. Mm-hmm. But are we on a slippery slope here when we're talking about women as – is there a risk of saying women are more likely to be anti-science?
I think there is. And I think – I mean, that to me is the most uncomfortable part of asking this question. And I think one thing that's really important to note is that the majority of mothers do trust their doctors on these questions. Women place more trust in their doctors than they do in celebrities and magazine articles. So we're really talking about a subset of parents here. And some of the loudest voices in the vaccine debate have been men. So Andrew Wakefield, the author of this now completely discredited 1998 study, exactly, was a man. And there are certainly fathers involved in this debate. So we're talking about a subset of women, and we're not talking about the entirety of the vaccine debate.
So to reframe this story or narrative about vaccines, whether they're good or bad, what's the answer? You change who it's directed to or how it is presented?
Well, I think what I was trying to argue in the story is that maybe recognizing who the information needs to be directed to might involve changing the way that we're telling those stories or presenting that information. So again, you know, the overwhelming majority of parents do vaccinate their kids. But if we're trying to sort of capture that last percentage of holdouts, recognizing that maybe more of them are women, that we need to be speaking to women, it would be nice if we could just present the sort of straightforward scientific information, but that's obviously not resonating with everyone. So if people respond to scientific information in different ways, maybe we need to be presenting that in different ways. So if that's just a change in tone, if it's celebrity spokespeople speaking up for vaccines, if it is presenting, you know, anecdotal information in a different way that we haven't tried yet, I think it's important to know who we're speaking to when we're talking about sort of closing that final gap.
Ruth Graham, New Hampshire-based freelance journalist and a regular contributor to Slate. That's where we found her article, Don't Blame Parents for Vaccine Resistance. Ruth, thank you.
Thank you.
Now you'll find a link to read her article at our website. That's wordofmouthradio.org.
Music.